Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, That's Too Small.
But the Lord of hosts have sent me unto you, for who have despised the day of small things? For who have despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zubriel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro in the whole earth. Zechariah 4, verse 8 through 10. For who have despised the day of small things? Ephesians chapter number 3, amen, verse 20 and 21. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and above, and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages, the world without end. Let me read that again. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all the ages, the world without end. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 60 and verse 22. And again, I'm going to be speaking from a topical format. Amen. I'm not going to exegete. I'm not going to try to build the doctrine, amen, from the plethora of scriptures. But I want to leave a thought in your mind, and it's going to be a topic, right, that I want to leave in your mind, and it'll change your next week. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 22. When you have the word, say, I have the word. All right, thank you for you seven, amen. I'm waiting for the rest of you, amen. 45, 50, amen. Isaiah 60 and verse 22, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation, and I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation, and I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Read it one more time. And a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation, and I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Do me a favor, talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, this next dimension ain't on you. All right. For a few moments, I want to talk from a subject that's too small. Somebody just repeat that with me. Say, that's too small. Come on, find one more person that you can touch and agree with and look in the black of their eyeballs or the brown of their eyeballs or the green of their eyeballs and tell them, that's too small, that's too small. That's too small. That's too small. One of the most powerful things that happen when we begin to dream with God, our perception, our ideologies, our thoughts are transformed by the conforming power of the Holy Ghost. I'll say that again, and I'm almost done, y'all. Tell somebody else, that's too small. That's too small. One of the most powerful things that happen, and you know, I've been talking about dreaming, and I've been talking about dreaming with God, and I've been talking about being withdrawn from our purposes, that we'll dream with God and it will be drawn into his purpose. All right. One of the most powerful things that happen when we begin to dream with God, our perspective, our ideologies, and our thoughts are transformed by the conforming power of the Holy Ghost. Do me a favor. Amen. You might have to talk to yourself with this one. Say the Holy Ghost is starting to change my mind. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. Come on, tell somebody else. The Holy Ghost is starting to change my mind. All right, that's too small. Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister for these next 20, 25 minutes. Oh God, give me articulation of speech. Let me declare your truth. Let me say exactly what you said. And don't let a small thinker leave this place. God. Don't let a small thinker leave this place. We're going to leave this place with big ideals and big hopes and big dreams And we're going to see what it is that you, amen, kept us alive for. That bullet should have caught us. That thing should have hemmed us up. We should have lost our mind by now. But you kept us and you kept us alive. And now we're going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And now we're going to be able to put our hand on what you've deemed is now too small. And after you've spoken to us, we'll be careful to give your name the glory, the praise, and honor. This is our prayer this morning. Amen. And all God's people said amen and amen. Amen. Ministers, y'all can be released. Amen. But you won't be gone long. Amen. Because I'm almost done. All right. One of the most powerful things that happens when we begin to dream with God, our perspectives, our ideologies, and our thoughts are transformed by the conforming power of the Holy Ghost. Isaiah 55, it says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Listen what it says next. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. What I love about this text, although he is rebuking us for our simplicity and our small thoughts, he never said, you couldn't have my thoughts. He never said, you cannot have my ways. He just said, the way you're thinking, it ain't going to get it done right now. He's just saying, you're thinking too small. Give me a little couple moments and I'm going to prove that to you, the text. In Romans chapter number 12, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to small thinking. Be not conformed to small ideas. Be not conformed to the culture around you. He says, be not conformed to this world. He says, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. The inference there is, until you have the mind of the Lord, you don't know the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Until your thoughts have been lifted, you always find yourself living low. But we've come today to be transformed by the conforming of our mind by the Holy Ghost. In Isaiah 54, good God Almighty. In Isaiah 54, he begins to talk about singing. There is a power dimension when we combine dreaming with singing. I'm going to, I promise y'all. Dreaming with God has the ability to change any and everything. All you need is one dream and your life can begin all over again. All you need is one dream and all the bad stuff can be erased in just a moment. I told you last week that we're now in a dimension that we're dreaming again. Tap somebody and tell them, I'm still dreaming. I'm still dreaming. I'm still dreaming. Well, when I was preparing today's message, God said, tell the people of God that there is a boosted dimension into the stratosphere, and the stratosphere is important, and y'all don't have time to work all that out, but it is a boosted dimension when we not only begin to dream with God, but we begin to add singing to what we're dreaming about. That's how Diana Ross got that song, I'm Coming Out. She dreamed and she sang, and a whole nation tacked themselves to that and declared they was coming out of the bondage of racism over all America. If you can never start dreaming and singing. Isaiah said it like this, sing, O barren woman that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry loud that did not travail with trial. For more are the children. Whenever he says sing, he says you're going to move into the more. That's why the enemy don't want you singing songs of the Lord. That's why the enemy don't want you to sing songs of joy. That's why the enemy don't want you to sing what you're dreaming about, because it might happen. PA, and you might have to take them down a little bit because I'm going to blow them out of here this morning. Isaiah said, sing, O barren. And when you begin to sing, you will, though you were travailing with a child, you will be more children born of you than the desolate and the merry, said the Lord. Listen what he says after that. He says, when you begin to sing, you will then begin to enlarge the place of your tent, and you will stretch forth the curtains of your habitation. You shall spare not, and you shall lengthen thy cords, and you shall strengthen thy stakes. Singing with dreaming causes us to move out of being too small. I'm going to say that again because you missed it, and I'm almost there. So you better come on and get with me if you're going to get with me. Amen. Singing and dreaming moves us out of barrenness, and it moves us out of the place that's too small. Some of us need to go back to the Jeffersons and start singing that theme song of the Jeffersons. Because you started singing and because you started dreaming. Don't ever let anything stop you from singing. And that ain't what I really came to preach about. And I really didn't come to preach about dreaming. But dreaming and singing has to do with seeing this thing that I'm talking about is too small. Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't let anything stop you from singing. Pastor Kim caught the Holy Ghost this morning because somebody on the television told us when you're singing for God, it does not matter whether or not you're on tune or you sound melodious. And she caught the Holy Ghost. And some of y'all need to know the backdrop to why she caught the Holy Ghost. Because, see, everybody can't sing like that young man. Everybody can't sing like this young lady. But it does not mean that we're not supposed to sing. You're supposed to sing and make a joyful noise. And I need to tell somebody besides myself, it's not really singing what you're doing. It's a joyful noise. So we'll count that as singing. But whatever you do, and I'm not throwing no stones this morning, and I'm trying to move on because that ain't what I came to preach about. But whatever you do in this season that God told us he'll speak to us through dreaming, don't stop singing. I wish I had a little bit more time. I had you in Bible study. I stop and ask you, what is your theme song for this season? I heard them singing one of my theme songs. It's called by William Murphy out of Atlanta, Throw Your Weight Around. And it's talking about the Holy Ghost throwing his weight around. I'm going to talk about a song later on that says, I still believe. What is your theme song? Oh, God, Holy Ghost, I want to move, but he ain't letting me. What is your theme song? Generally, whatever it is that we're singing is what we are living. And I'm sorry, y'all. I refuse to sing. I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. Ain't never liked that song. Ain't never bought it. I always wanted to throw it out of the Christian vocabulary and the Christian archive because I know I might be coming up like that, but I won't be coming long. What is your theme song for this season? Come on, do me a favor. Ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, what is your theme song? And y'all, please don't throw me none of that Beyonce stuff out here. You should have been kicked that to the curb. Unless you want to be a part of the hive. And y'all don't want me to get into what the hive represent because a hive is a spiritual term that you don't even know she threw it on you. What is your song for this season? Some of y'all need to check y'all phones because it's on your playlist. And you got to hear it before you get to work every week. What is your song? Because hear me. I hear you, Holy Ghost. If you can get the right song right now, it can change your landscape. God. If you dare couple that with dreaming with God, your whole world can change. Dreaming takes our moving prophetically with God to a whole nother stratosphere. And I caught an interest in that word, so I had to look it up. Stratosphere, it means... And this is profound to me. Stratosphere means the highest degree of any grading system. The highest point you can reach. So dreaming and singing with God can take us to the highest point that we could reach. Sing, O barren that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud that did not drill with child for more. That's all you need to understand. Every time I start dreaming and singing, here comes the more. Somebody say that with me. Say, every time I start dreaming and singing, here comes the more. You're supposed to put a hallelujah on those kind of statements. I can tell some of y'all ain't been in church that long. I'm just joking. There are four things that I want to share with you that God gave me to tell you it's too small. Number one, and you got to catch it. Number one, the labels placed on you by your surrounding culture, like minor prophet. And I know you're going to ask me, where did I get that? I'm on point number one, media. Let's go, all right? Number one, what's too small? The label that has been placed on you by your surrounding culture, like minor prophet. For those of you that do not know, and maybe biblical studies is not what you took in undergrad or postgrad, so you don't really understand. Zechariah is called by theologians a minor prophet. Everybody with me? All right. The circles around religious thought made him and his 11 others into minor prophets. But God said to me this morning, I don't have no minor prophets in my camp. They were just labeled that. God has, and this ain't what I came to talk about. You're going to have to come on my YouTube channel and hear me talk about this next subject. God has obedient and disobedient prophets. He don't have major and minor. If the prophet only says one thing in God's out of his mouth that came from God, and then he goes to his grave, he was major. But Zechariah and the other 11 are called minor prophets because that's what the culture labeled them. What has your culture labeled you that you believe? This is weighty, and I hope you catch it. If you're not careful, you will live your life from someone else's perspective of you. Because I've discovered if you hear it enough and you don't reject it and you don't get it out and you don't get some other hearing to override what you're hearing, you'll start to believe it. So what has your culture labeled you that you now believe? What have your friends, and this is what's crazy. We get nicknames and things said about us at a real early stage in life that follow us the rest of our lives. Like Jacob. If you understand the biblical narrative of Jacob, he was labeled that real early, but because his destiny was not tied to Jacob, he had to have a divine encounter that he got a name change to Israel that he could understand Jacob is too small. What have they labeled you that you got to now understand that's too small? What have you believed that have been said about you? He gonna always be broke. She gonna always be nasty. She gonna always be that. She gonna always be this. Because hear me, y'all, we might not want to admit this, but some of our present day actions are out of the concept of what they said about us. God, I'm preaching way better than y'all said amen in here. And at some point, what they said about us can't matter anymore. Y'all ain't saying that. At some point, what they have even labeled us, we got to cast off those labels. Because that ain't me anymore. Come on, somebody say that to me real loud. That ain't me anymore. I need to tell somebody in here, what they labeled you is too small. How far they said you would go ain't far enough. What they said you could not do, you about to show yourself in the whole world, I can do all things through Christ that strengthened me. Let's get out of our head, even if it's what we call credible people, because the people that labeled Zechariah a minor prophet, they're credible people. But it ain't nothing that Zechariah said that is minor. Check this out. Some of the things that we're going to see in the last days, the other prophets that they call major said absolutely nothing about what we're going to see. And the minor prophet, Zechariah, he told us when Jesus would step his foot down, it would be in Jerusalem. Come on, do me a favor. Tell your neighbor, and I got to move y'all. Come on, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, it ain't nothing minor about you. It ain't nothing minor about you. We're getting a reset, and now we're going to understand. I'm a major player in this game. Y'all ain't saying that. I'm a major player in my community. I'm a major mover in where I live. In the spirit that I operate in, I'm major, and ain't nothing minor about me. Please hear me. You've been labeled on a dimension, and it's now too small. Minister Olubunmi, paying off all of your debt is great. But that's just a small thing with what God gonna do with finances. That's too small. Do me a favor. Somebody talk to your neighbor. Say, neighbor, that's too small. That's too small. So number one, what's too small is the labels that we've been labeled by our surrounding community. Come on, somebody say it again. That's too small. That's too small. Number two, what's too small? Please hear me. Most of what we are presently majoring on, and we've been majoring on for months and probably a few years, all of that's too small. Things that have had our attention, and we've tried to figure out when we're going to come out of this, whether it's financial, whether it's relational, whether it's school goals, whatever it is. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. Whatever it is that we have had all of our attention, how we thought about it, too small. Whatever it is that you've been majoring on, thinking that you're going to be stuck here, too small. And Ephesians tells us this. Zechariah first says, in Zechariah 9, he says, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. And this is where I need to stop. Most of the time when we're focusing in on it and we're majoring on it, we're majoring on what's only foundational. And it's not the finished product. Have you ever been in a neighborhood that they're now building new houses? And if you ride in that neighborhood and all they have is two or three houses with only the foundation, it doesn't look really like all of that. Okay, so I can tell some of y'all ain't never done what I'm talking about. But if you ever get a chance, go ride in a new where they just broke ground and they got about four, I don't care if these are $1 million, $5 million, I don't care what you call them houses. When you all you see is the foundation, you'd be like, maybe that's gonna be nice. I can tell who's been there because they smiling at me now, like, he's absolutely right. Because when you rode in the neighborhood, all you saw was the foundation. And this is what Zerubbabel is talking about. He said, you're judging this thing, and all you're talking about is the foundation. Y'all need to understand what I'm telling you today. Sometimes what you've been building the last 10 years, it's only foundational. And you're judging it as finished. And so the finished thing, absolutely, the foundational, in comparison, looks like absolutely nothing. But this is only the foundation. Come on, tell your neighbors and neighbor, this is only the foundation. I'm just laying the foundation. Wait till you see this thing is finished. What you've been majoring on is just a foundation. what you've been focusing on. And God said specifically over the last few days, over the last few months, and probably the last few years, what you've been focusing on is only the foundation. This ain't the finished product.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.